Hello, hello everyone. It's Tanya Gabrielle. And this is our future forecast formula call for September 23rd. And for all of us in North America, it is the new moon date, 23/9/2014. That is a very big date in numerology because we have the Prince of Heaven number. The Royal Star of the Lion number. That's right. Royal Star of the Lion is the number 23. So it's a very, very empowering, wonderful number. And I love that the new moon is actually happening on this day. Now, for a lot of the world, it is actually the 24th. So that's also a beautiful number itself. So, but both of them are very much about looking at the beauty that's coming up in a couple of days. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment and then discuss further with you what's happening with the eclipses, because there's some incredible stuff going on in October that is really, really exciting. So going back to today, we have a 21-3 date today. We have a five, you know, a day, universal day, and a 21-3 date, so 3 and 5. So there's a lot of changes happening. I don't know if you felt your life quickening today, for those of you who are near the end of the day, but there's just a lot of shifting and moving and change and lots of energetic movement. And like I said, it is a preparation. This is a new moon period right now that we're in that's activating a lot, and it's preparing us for the next 4 weeks, which are going to be quite tremendous. The next full moon and new moon are both eclipses. So those will affect us, as you know, the eclipses, when they happen, affect us for a year, and the lunar cycles affect us for a month. That's in general. So now what's coming up in a couple of days on the 25th, I mentioned this in Numerology Academy yesterday, but what I didn't go into is the beautiful, beautiful Grand Trine that's being activated, and what I'm talking about is that incredible Uranus and Jupiter trine at 1500 degrees on the 25th of September at 6:20 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and that's when it becomes exact. But I'm sure you're feeling it now already. Uranus is the planet of numerology, astrology, breakthroughs. So for all of us who are practitioners, it's a beautiful time anyway. But to have Jupiter and Uranus come together like this is just very, very magical. It's a highly fortunate meeting of planets, and it really attests to how exuberant we can now feel about our future, about what's happening, about the positive energy that's being generated for us if we apply ourselves. And if you are a visionary and you are writing about these astrology numerology events for your clients or on your blog, and you're planning to expand in some way or go deeper into your business and share your gifts, this is a really incredible time for you, because the faith that you have in your actual future is extremely strong. You will just feel so confident and so excited about the positive gifts that are awaiting you. So this is truly a visionary aspect, and it will last through a lot of 2015. In fact, in my book, it is a true forecast of what's going to happen in 2015, because it is happening exactly at 15 degrees and because it continues for a lot of the year next year. So it really is something to keep an eye on. And in terms of the Grand Fire Trine, this is really incredible. It's in, of course, the fire signs, which are very activating in themselves. Not only that, the trine that's created is created through Mars at 8 degrees in Sagittarius. So there is a real beautiful connection to the ruler of Aries, and a very important part of the fire trilogy, Mars is, of course. And it imbues us with extra energy, extra drive, right, for success. And so it is just one of those moments in astrology that you can really use to help yourself and help your clients. And so looking for this trine in your charts is obviously a very good thing to do. You want to see where you have 15 degrees Aries, 15 degrees Leo, and then 8 degrees Sagittarius. That's the grand trine being formed on the 25th. And it will form slightly differently the next two times it's activated in the spring and the summer of next year, but you will definitely feel this grand trine. Now, moving on to our first eclipse, and this one is continuing the grand trine fire sign theme that was started on the 25th of September, or will be started on the 25th of September. And this is why I love this so much, because there is an actual trigger that happens twice. And it happens in the same location, of course, because, yes, it involves the similar planets. Okay, so here we go. The lunar eclipse in October on the 8th happens in Aries, and it happens at 15 degrees in Aries. So 15 degrees is where the moon is, and 15 degrees Libra, opposite the moon, is where the sun will be, okay? So right there, as you know, this grand trine that just is going on about a week or so beforehand, 10 days beforehand, is being triggered again by the eclipse. So Uranus will be conjunct the moon in Aries for this eclipse, because Uranus is part of this grand trine. So that's pretty darn incredible. I mean, this is really a huge activation. And the sun being at 15 degrees Libra, if you draw this out and you draw the sun at 15 degrees Libra opposite the moon at 15 degrees in Aries, and then you draw Mars at 16 degrees in Sagittarius and Jupiter at 17 degrees in Leo. Notice there's a code here, 15, 16, 17. I'm going to go into that in a moment. If you draw that out, you can see a kite is formed where the sun holds the handle of the kite and the grand trine is in the fire signs, right? So the air sign of Libra is the handle with the sun there opposite the moon. And so this, again, very, very fortunate. A beautiful, sacred geometric shape in the sky. And it just is, to me, one of the most freeing experiences we will have in our lifetime, because this is truly a freedom grand trine. The fire signs exhibit that, but also having Uranus, with the moon, conjunct the moon, at 14 degrees. Uranus will be at 14 at this point. That's a 5. The number 15 also in current cycles speaks to freeing yourself. It's about freedom in a current cycle. And then on top of that, we have the 16 and 17 activated as well. So there's a code there, 15, 16, 17, with the degrees that's being activated for this lunar eclipse. And, of course, 15 is 6, 16 is 7, 17 is 8. So that's a 6, 7, 8 code. All three triads in numerology are being triggered, and it ties into the 7 universal year we're in. So I definitely want all of you to prepare for, this is going to be very akin to the big shifts we felt in April, except these, to me, are a continuation of that, in that they are actually giving us the actual confidence and joy and optimism to move ahead with something that was deeply, deeply activated back in April for that Cardinal Grand Cross that we had. And if you remember correctly, that also involved several of these planets, Uranus and Mars. So we are continuing this journey now that was started then, but it is an exciting part of the journey because it is much more optimistic and visible. And, of course, it happens during a Mercury retrograde. So what does that mean? It means that we will have the ability to slow down and really watch these changes go by without having the hectic, you know, the hecticness of normal life impede on whatever discoveries we can make. So Mercury retrograde is a wonderful time to reflect, as you know. And during something like when it happens during a two eclipse period, as it will in October, the effect of the eclipse is really able to be felt on a very deep spiritual level. So another part of this whole storyline to keep in mind is that we're going to be in an 8 universal month. And like I said yesterday in Numerology Academy for that call, October is always a preview of the next year because of the number that it resonates to. It is always the number of the next calendar year that we're going to enter in January. So again, we have a lot of symbolism and incredible insights into how our lives are going to progress and what we need to do in order for that to happen in 2015, right? So huge month, and I haven't even touched upon the second eclipse, which I will do now. So the second eclipse in October happens right before Mercury moves direct again. It happens on October 23rd, and it occurs at 00 Scorpio. This is a Scorpio solar eclipse. Solar eclipse means it's a new moon and happening at 00 degrees, and it's actually 25 minutes. So 25, that number is important because it is a 7, which is what our whole universal year is. So, but the 00 means divine protection in a double way. And so it is in Scorpio, a water sign, very different than the fire trine that preceded this 2 weeks earlier, right? So here we're coming into the watery realms of deep emotional impact and spiritual nourishment and looking at how we might be deceiving ourselves or living in a state of delusion, delusional dreams, making sure we are staying in focus and on the spiritual side of this watery, eclipse. So Scorpio is deeply, deeply empowering in so many ways. It's ruled by Pluto, so there is the power theme being activated again. Remember, Pluto's direct now. So there will be a big push at this time, especially once Mercury moves forward again and we're driven to activate, in a big way, that, you know, will enable us to move forward in a beautiful, just a very, very exciting way. Now, I'm not saying this won't be without challenge, because any time we go through these shifts, there are challenges that we need to work through, things we need to process, hopefully in a healthy way, and be able to move through and, understand about each other and in our relationships. So since we will be in Libra during almost the whole period I'm talking about here, this is very much a relationship time for all of us. Libra does govern relationships. It's ruled by Venus. It is the balances, the two sides. So pay attention to those. You know, we do reflect how we feel through our relationships, and so the growth we experience in those very close relationships is really propelling us forward during this time. So now I want you to get in line for your questions. Press *6 if you want to know anything about, you know, how this might affect you personally, or you have a question in general about forecasting. I do have a couple emails that came in, so I will address those while you guys line up. And let me go first to Carla, who said she won't be on the call, so I'll do her first. She has several questions. Carla asks, will you be offering a mastermind group next year? That's not really a forecasting question, but I will answer it. Yes, my Astral Alliance Mastermind is expanding with a new coach on board who will be coaching with me. And so it's going to be bigger and better. So, yeah, we're going to be signing up people. You know, you can actually join now if you want, but if you want to join next year, we're signing up people in November and December for that calendar year. So you'll hear more about that at a later date, and if you're interested, just let us know because we do have something special for all our Mastermind members planned in November, mid-November. There's a very special treat that they're all getting. So the second question you have is, will you be offering more courses in the near future? Absolutely. I've been a bit on a standstill pause last few months because of personal changes in my own life that were completely unexpected. Given that I'm an astroneurologist, I should have known better say that I'm going to release all these programs this year. I really, really did not know I was going to be going through a lot of these shifts in my own life. So I'm a little bit on hold on those, but I'm getting back on track now. So just so you know, Carla, after my live event on November 8th, that big five-hour live stream, that's when I will start creating programs again after that. So there are three that I will be offering that are in line to be created. They are the Fortunate Name Training, Numerology Academy Level 3, and a special course on wealth astroneurology. So those are all lining up to be created in the future. Next question. To clarify, when looking at a birth chart orbs for conjunction, opposition, square, when looking at the birth chart, I'm just trying to understand your question, it's usually 8 degrees. Right. Okay. Yes. You're talking about the aspects. You're calling them orbs. I call them aspects. That's the usual term in astrology, the aspect between a planet and an angle or a planet to a planet. Yes, usually 8 degrees in terms of the window. For future forecast formula, the same orb is limited to 2 degrees. Is this correct? Okay. Well, let me point you to webinar 2. If you go to webinar 2, starting with slide number 15, you will get the exact aspect windows for each of these planets. So, for example, for Jupiter, I write Jupiter transits are felt 5 to 6 degrees before they are exact, and so on and so on. So, no, it's not 2 degrees everywhere. For solar arcs, it is absolutely 2 degrees, right? So, but for transits, you can feel a slow-moving transit sometimes 6 degrees beforehand, especially as it approaches a major personal planet in your chart or a major angle or new house or enters a new sign. You will feel it beforehand. And, in fact, it is during that period of 6 degrees before it's conjunct, or six degrees before it's exact, it's during that period that you feel it most, especially the slow-moving one, because once they've entered the actual exact location, once they move on from that, you've pretty much gotten used to the energy, and it just, you know, it becomes part of your life. This is for Uranus and Neptune and Pluto especially, okay? So yes, it's different for transits. Pay attention to that. For the progressed moon, it's also different, right? So just refresh yourself in the course when that actually happens, okay? So next question you have is, when creating a transit, progression, and arc, should I be using, chart, okay. Should I be using where the person is currently living in the place or the place of birth? It doesn't matter. You can just do current, you know, wherever they are or place of birth. It's actually, in my program, they don't even ask for that. They just ask, is it for today? So, and I say yes. Is it for now? Then you say, the last 6 weeks have been very challenging and stressful at work. With my 40th birthday fast approaching, would it be possible to have a mini reading to focus on my work and career? I seem to be in a 3-year cycle of changing work direction and jobs for the last 9 years. Okay, and I hope to break the cycle soon. Many planets are being triggered in my progression chart for my birthday, which is on November 3rd. Okay, and then you give me your numbers. Okay, let me look at your numbers for a sec here, Carla. Let's see, November 3rd, 5, and 7. Yes, you are in a 12-3 year. You're born on, well, you will be in a 12-3 year. You're born on the 3rd. You're entering your 12-3 year shortly, right, in a, about a little over a month. So right now, by the way, you are in that 6-week cycle that where the sun is going through your 12th house. So it is that time right before your solar return where everything intensifies, because anything that you haven't looked at, processed, dealt with during this whole solar year before your birthday is coming up for you now in the 6-week period before your birth. So it does feel more intense now anyway. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Now, once you enter your birthday, you will be changing into a 3-year. That is one of your numbers. You're also a 9 destiny, major, 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 major year for you of progress and for your career. The 3 triggers, obviously the 3, 6, 9 triad, and you have 2 numbers in it, including the destiny number. So this is a really important moment for you. And something that you really want to take advantage of. In terms of your astrology, let's see here real quick what's going on. I did cast your charts, so I'm just going to check here. I do see that Mars is going to be opposite your 10th house very, very shortly. This is transiting Mars. I'm looking at a transit chart right now. Transiting Mars is currently in Sagittarius, 6 degrees Sag. So, and you have 13 degrees Gemini as your midheaven, right? So it's going to be triggering it very soon. That'll be a definite surge, an energetic surge for you. So watch out for that. I'm noticing that Pluto is going to be forming an inconjunct. That's 150 degrees. When Pluto reaches 13 degrees in Capricorn, which it's been forever. So when it reaches that 13 degrees mark, you'll want to pay attention. There will be an actual major shift for you at that point. So, and that happens, well, it's happening next year. So you're going to really feel that, okay? As you know, Pluto is just moving direct now, but it will retrograde again. And at that point, you're going to definitely feel that movement. It is moving direct now. So in January, you're absolutely going to feel a big shift in your career, and also the end of 2015. So starting with September, actually no, August, July, August, September, October. So that will be huge for you. And whatever happens at that point with Pluto beginning this January, and you'll probably start feeling this in December. Like I said, with the slow-moving planets, you're going to feel this. And you did ask me about, you know, the last few years. Well, you know that Pluto's been in this area for a long time. We've had the Cardinal Grand Cross. We've had Pluto and Uranus square since, you know, 2011. And so this has been going on for a long time. Pluto takes a really super long time to go through the 360-degree circle here. So it's been sitting in this area for many, many years, and so it's been affecting you during that whole time, right? So I'm just looking at actually when it would have started for you in terms of when you started feeling this. It would have been definitely at least the last 3 years, okay, and probably even before that, because you have a 13 degrees up there. So that's a marker right there for you. I also want you to pay attention to Neptune, because Neptune will be squaring that part of your chart coming up as well. Now, that's not going to be any time this year, but you'll start feeling this with Neptune in 2016, actually, and that'll deeply spiritualize your business. So let's see here. I want to look at anything related to Venus, because you are a Libra, if I'm correct. No, you're not. You're a Scorpio. So Pluto, what I just said about Pluto, by the way, is huge, because you're a Scorpio, right? So Let's always pay attention to Pluto. Also pay attention to Mars, because Mars was the ancient ruler of Scorpio. So every Scorpio needs to pay attention to both those planets. Okay, so for you, Mars is also very important. So I mentioned those right off the bat. Mars is about to cross, you know, opposite your midheaven, and then that Pluto is coming up. So this is very, very important for you. In terms of your arcs, we have Mars opposite. Speaking of Mars, we have Mars opposite your midheaven right now. You know, it's been going on for the last 3 years and still opposite your midheaven. That's very, very major. There's a lot going on for you. We have an 18 degrees Pluto aspecting your 18 degrees Saturn. So that's actually a trine for you, but it's still important because it's exact, that number, 18 degrees. That is definitely about endings, things ending for you. We have your nodes. This is arcs now I'm talking about. Your nodes are at 20 degrees, and so that is also aspecting, just looking here. Yeah, your Saturn was aspected for a long time by these nodes. There was a lot of karmic stuff going on with you regarding relationships, a lot of stuff. It is now dissipating, so that is good. You know, this node moving away from this four-year conjunction of your Saturn is going to be helpful to you. So you're actually going to feel a lifting of energy. That's going to happen in the next 2 months. It'll be pretty much out of that two-degree window, next 2 to 3 months. So really at the beginning of next year. So that's really good news for you. Let's see. Your ascendant is conjuncting Uranus. Your arcing ascendant is arcing your natal Uranus. And it is going to still go on for another 3 years. So that's a big one too, because of the shifts that happen. You know, the ascendant represents you, and Uranus is major shifts. And for you, that's happening in your money house, your house of values. So that would affect your career, of course, the way you earn money and the money exchange that you create in your vocation is affected. So you're undergoing a major shift yourself. Uranus is telling you you're experiencing a lot more freedom, and that's what you're searching for. And so this is still going to go on, like I said, for quite a while. I would say three and a half more years, okay? Anything else I want to tell you? Yes, you have arcing Jupiter at 18 degrees squaring your Saturn. That is actually something that will support you. This is actually a very nice aspect to have. Anytime Jupiter arcs anything, it's actually very, very enhancing. So it is helping you in many ways that you know, if you want to make a shift now, you want to dedicate yourself to it, because if you use patience and joy and a positive approach, which is all Jupiter. The patience is Saturn, right? But Jupiter is the very positive side. If you combine those, you're actually supported now to create some major shifts. And because Jupiter is arcing from your 8th house of money owed to you, and because Saturn is in your 10th house of career, right at the end of your 10th house, but it is still in your 10th house, this will definitely help your career. And this is becoming exact in the next sort of 7 months, 6 months, but it's very close. It's already the same degree, 18 and 18. So this is a really nice thing for you. Okay, Carla, I like this a lot. Let me briefly look at your, is there anything else here I want to see? Real quick. Carla's secondary progression. Okay. Sorry, I need to just get this chart up. For some reason, it did not get cast before, so here we go. Quick look at your moon. All right. Oh, wow. I'm glad I'm looking at this. Your progressed moon's at 15 degrees Sagittarius, directly opposite your 10th house. This is very major. You have really felt a shift in your career the last couple months, and that's going to continue for the next 2 years, where you really are going to now manifest that shift as the moon transits through your 4th house opposite the 10th house. It's progressing through your 4th house opposite your 10th house. Now, I want to just point something out to you. Your natal moon is in the 10th house, and it is conjunct your midheaven. So you naturally are an empath. And with that placement, it's at 21 degrees in Gemini. As the progressed moon goes through the fourth house now, it's at 15 degrees now, you are really going to start in the next few months make a deep emotional connection to who you are as a sensitive, meaning a psychic, somebody who is there for others in a very intuitive way, however you want to, whatever words you want to use. But as an empath, as a counselor, you're really going to grow tremendously now. Remember, it takes about 29 or so years for the moon to progress through your whole chart. And when it's opposite the moon, which it's doing now, that's a real marker in your lifetime, just like when Saturn returns and Saturn's opposite Saturn and et cetera. This is, for the progressed moon, the same kind of thing. It's a cycle. It's the end of the cycle and the beginning of a new one. And in this case, it's emotional and it involves your career directly, right? Because you have the natal moon conjunct your midheaven. That's really, really, really big. So I really love this moment for you. So your original question was, will this next change that you're experiencing last longer? My sense is, from looking at your chart, you know, I don't do predictions, but I do forecasting. So I can't predict that you won't make any changes in your career in the future. But what I can tell you is that what's implementing now for you is very profound, very deep, and will leave a lasting impression on you because of the factors involved, the rulers of the particular areas we talked about, you know, your sun sign, et cetera, Pluto and Mars. All of that leaves a much bigger impact than had it been other planets or other sectors in your chart that were being looked at, okay? All right, I hope that answers your question. And let's go. We do have one more email question, but let me go to one call, and then I'll go to the next email question. And let's see who is here. We have area code 208. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hey, Rayora. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, considering everything.
Good. It's good to hear.
Yeah. This is my birthday month, and so things have been happening,
birthday.
Of course.
Oh,
yeah. And
did you have it yet? Did it
no,
happen?
No. It's the 28th, so it's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to run by you something that happened, though. Well, first of all, I'm going to deal largely with the solar arc questions, but... I had what I guess could be called my Mars return on the 16th and 17th. That's a 2-year transit, you know, that it comes around about every 2 years where Mars transits my natal Mars. And that happened on the 16th and 17th. And what it did was trigger a yod in my natal chart. And the yod is comprised of Mars sextile the sun, and those are in conjunct my moon. So you can see what the players are there.
Oh, my gosh. That's really powerful.
Right. Okay. Now, when I saw that, and I don't know why I never saw that yod before, but until I experienced what I did with this Mars transit, I just hadn't seen it. And once I saw that, I thought, oh, my gosh, no wonder I'm feeling what I'm feeling. But then the process that I used to study this out, Tanya, was to look at then Mars, because that was the trigger, and find out where else Mars was aspecting this. And I do have, let's see, Mars is solar arcing my natal moon, and Saturn is solar arcing Mars. So I've got those in addition to what just happened, which is a pretty, doesn't that intensify the Mars action even more?
Oh, yeah. Any time a storyline with one planet reaches into, you know, other parts, transits, progressions, arcs, you absolutely intensify the message. And that goes for houses as well. So if a house is being intensified in several of these forecasting charts that we use, right?
Uh-huh.
That also goes for numbers, if you see that across, you know, for transits, progressions, you know, with specific areas of the chart, right? So, but yes, for you, your question, absolutely. It totally deepens and makes it much more impactful to you.
Yeah.
You know, Mars, of course, is always important because of our energy source anyway, you know, and so when Mars is impacted, we do energetically feel, viscerally feel something happening as well. And since you had the moon and sun involved in that yod, boy, well, that's who you are. That's you personally, your emotions and your how you, you know, feel about your life, your ego, everything. I mean, it's everything you are is being triggered. That yod you're talking about, maybe one reason you didn't notice it is possibly, you know, yods usually are the degrees, the windows of degrees that we use are 2 degrees. So if it's beyond that, it may not have been noticed, like if it's a wider degree angle. I'm just, you know, you're wondering.
Well, Mars is at 2, Sun at 5, and Moon at 7.
Oh, okay. So the 7 and the 2 are 5 degrees apart. So that's maybe why it wasn't coming up in your astrology programs, because most astrology programs give a 2-degree window for the 150-degree in conjunct aspect. And that, it sounds like 7 and 2, that's more, you know, that's more than a 2-degree window. That's a 5-degree window there. So that's maybe why you didn't see it being drawn in your birth chart is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you want to widen that, sometimes it's worth it to widen the 150-degree angle in your software program because in this case, it really did point out something very important in your chart, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's big. You know, that's huge, really, really big. And so you experienced something, obviously.
Well, the thing is, Tanya, I'm a little confused because from what I have read on this, it's like when you get your Mars return like this, it's supposed to kind of like set the energy for the Mars activity for the next 2 years. And this experience was not really that pleasant for me because we were traveling home from a trip, and it's just like it was not a pleasant experience. And my husband and I were getting snippy with each other, and it was just, you know, my back started hurting, and I thought, what's going on here? And then I realized
it's going on. Yeah. Your activation of Mars is very different than anybody else because of the yod. I mean, you see, the 150 degrees is not what we call a harmonious aspect.
It's
considered more challenging than harmonious, though there's a deeply spiritual side to 150 degrees. I actually love this degree because in my mind, what I've studied over the years is that it shows genius and a real deep spiritual ability to tap into the unseen. It's a very spiritual aspect. So you obviously have that naturally with these three planets. Now, what happens, though, in a current event when that Mars is triggered, especially the Mars by Mars, is, you know, Mars can get aggressive. And so emotionally, you could have been triggered easily. Now, I'm actually not surprised you were traveling because Mars is in your ninth house, which is interesting. So, you know, I mean, for you, you just have to watch it. Your Mars return is not going to be one of those, oh, great, I'm so energized, I feel so good. It's more like, oh, you know, what's bothering me, what's nagging me emotionally? I need to really check this out so that I can realign my energy, you know, because it's really triggering you in a very different way than a normal Mars return. So if you would have, let's say you had issues already that were building up with, you know, your husband, that then they would be triggered because Mars can really get upset, you know, it's like can lash out, it gets very fiery, like, you know, stop it, you know, I don't like this. You know, it's like,
well, the funny thing was we really hadn't been that way with each other. This was kind of a, well, I mean, not for a long time, we used to quite a bit, but through the years we've kind of mellowed things out. And we celebrated our wedding anniversary just a few days before that. Everything was beautiful. And all of a sudden on the way home, this arises. And so You know?
It can come out of nowhere. Now, remember that we are in a 16-7 universal month in a 7-year. So this month in particular has been sudden unforeseen events. I've experienced them so much I can't even. Now I'm like, okay, just come on, because I'm like, what the hell is happening? Why? You know, the day can start so beautifully and smoothly, and then, oh, my God, all the hell breaks loose and, you know, whatever. And you've got something to deal with. So that's probably also, I mean, not probably, it definitely is a factor this month for you.
Yeah, too. And I've got that 7 life purpose, so you know how that plays into
things. For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. I mean, is there anything in my chart that wasn't triggered again? It brings me to my next point, which is right now I'm going through my Venus yearly return. And why that's, well, for most people, that is aspect that is harmonious and everything's love and beauty and easygoing. For me, in my natal chart, I've got Venus conjunct Saturn. So, of course, for me, it feels differently.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me get rid of Carla, who I finished, who's showing up, and let me bring Rayara to the front here and see what's going on.
By the way, you probably need to adjust your settings on my chart just a little bit, Tanya, because the settings I gave you was just for my place of birth, and you need to have the Dallas General Hospital, Oregon. Instead of just the Dallas, Oregon.
Let me see if that will come up for me. Do you have, which program do you have?
I have WinStar.
Oh, I got it. It did show up, I think. Let's see, let's make sure. Atlas. Yes. It replaced it with the hospital. Okay, good. I have that now. All right, so let me see. So, yeah, Venus conjunct Saturn, conjunct Mercury, conjunct Moon node. Okay, you've got a lot in Virgo right there in the seventh house. Okay, yeah. So when you have your Venus return, absolutely it's triggering Saturn. Very different than for most people. So it's a heavier energy. It's not a lightness that others would experience. It's almost
like, and I got
like
the moon right there too.
Yeah, exactly. So just looking at your other aspects here.
Regressed south node is right there, you know. So that, I suppose, comes into play as well.
Yeah, let me look. I don't have your progressed chart up. Let me just check that. So, Aurora. And secondary progression. Flywheel. Okay, so what were you saying? Oh, yeah, I see it. The 25 degree with a node. That's going to pass pretty soon. In terms of Venus, it's 6 more months of that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's definitely still in there with Saturn for sure, and partly for Venus. So, yeah, that's relationship. And it's in the 7th house. It's relationship issues in the 7th house. Yeah, that's big. I mean, any conjunction in the arcing or anything really is major, major, major stuff going on here.
Okay, I was going to ask you, too, in relation to the solar arc charts, you don't list in conjunctions the 150 degree as applicable as with solar arcs, and yet they're one of the hard aspects, and it
equates to
a 6 numerically, which was within the emotional triad you were targeting those for. So why
mm-hmm.
isn't the in conjunctions?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. I actually do look at in conjuncts when they are actually exact.
Okay, well, on my Mars that we just spoke about a few minutes ago, I have Jupiter in an in conjunct solar arc aspect to my natal Mars.
You know what? It's at 0, though. I'm looking at your Jupiter.
No, Jupiter is at 2 on my solar arc chart.
I don't have your arc. Sorry, I'm looking at progression.
Yeah.
I don't have the arc chart up, so let me get that. So if it is that, then let me just get that chart here. Okay. So actually, there's something else I also wanted to tell you before we go to that question, just so I don't forget.
Yeah.
Your progressed moon is squaring your natal Mars. Do you know that?
Yes, I know that too.
Yeah. I mean, that we didn't look at that. I mean, this really enhances the storyline for that yod you mentioned earlier. Because when the progressed
mm-hmm.
moon is a huge timekeeper and trigger for forecasting, it's really the most important part of forecasting if it is forming any kind of aspect that triggers something like that yod. So it was acting already in the vicinity of when your Mars returned to its natal position, that progressed moon formed a square, it's very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And since your moon is involved in the actual yod, we have a double emotional energy going on in
mm-hmm.
our 7 months, 7 years, 6 and 7 months. So yeah, that's major right there. So the fact that you didn't, you know, have like a major falling out with your husband is fabulous, actually.
Well, I guess 14 years counts for something.
Yeah, actually it does.
Oh. So,
yeah, you handled it pretty well, I have to say, seeing that. I mean, that's a big one. So,
mm-hmm.
okay, so now going to your question, you were looking, oh, yeah, so O2 degrees in Taurus does form a yod, yes. So that is exact, and that is important, and it is just not something that astrology in general don't, for arcs, look at yods, but I look at numbers, and so when those numbers are concurrent, or not even, it doesn't even have to be the number. Let's say it's at 200 in your natal chart, you want to look at the 1 degree, because that's within 1 degree. Do you see what I mean? So I think this one is definitely important for you, given even what you're experiencing now. So I would pay attention to that. And that is a very beautiful aspect, actually. But it will also expand any kind of emotional stuff that would have been triggered because of the nature of Jupiter, you know, expands everything. So it
and
could
Jupiter
go either direction.
Jupiter rules Sag, so.
Right. That's true.
That's
right.
Another thing
that's
in
true.
Play there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I got looking at this and I saw all these wide connections all over the place that were really tying in together. And the thing that I don't quite get here, Tanya, is apart from a sore back and a little bit of friction between my husband and I that lasted about 3 days,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any lasting results from that. Does that mean that I've progressed to the point where these don't hit me as hard as they
yeah.
would have earlier?
Absolutely. It's a fabulous question and something all of us have to always consider when we're coaching, consulting, mentoring our clients, is that depending on the state of mind, the ability to transcend conflict and the ability to self-realize and be fulfilled, depending on that level in your client, they will either lash out with this kind of thing. Like I said, you know, you could have separated. I mean, somebody else might have done that, you know, out of sheer frustration. But you are at a different level, not only in your relationship, but most importantly within yourself. So you didn't handle this in a way that another person who was not as wise or evolved or self-realized would have. Do you see? So there's... That's why tuning into your client is important as well, you know, when you're giving the reading. Because there are variables, as we know. There's no set, okay, you're going to experience this for sure, right? I have just recently given a lot of, for some reason this month, and it's been very difficult, but it's just been what's happening for me. I've had several clients ask me about some very, very difficult issues, like, you know, like people being close to, you know, people in their lives, like very close people in their lives being close to death, being in the hospital, and what are you forecasting in terms of their recovery type of questions, you know. And so that's when I say, look, I can tell you what I see. I can explain why this is happening in their life and what it is that they're being confronted with. But I cannot tell you exactly how they will deal with it. I just can't do that, right? Because there are always many, many variables, and that's free will. So it's our, you know, for you, Laura, obviously your variable is what I would call maybe a high-end one. So you're able to handle energies that are challenging in a different way than somebody else who's younger or not as experienced or not as evolved would handle them, right? So, but you still felt it, you know.
Oh, I still felt it. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it processed through you quicker. You're able to move the energy through, not hold on to it, not reflect it back on another person to the point where it really became a problem because you couldn't deal with the energy yourself, so you lashed out, which, you know, that's what we do when we're not processing. We blame others.
Well, I was snippy. I admit it. I was snippy.
Of course. I mean, who wouldn't be? I mean, in a sense, I mean, you'd have to be Buddha to not be snippy. All this is going on, you know. So, and I'm not saying being angry is a bad thing at all. I think anger, there's actually a place for anger. It's just as long as we can do it in our bedrooms and not lash out at somebody else, unless they really hurt us and we just need to let them know, you know, hello, stop it. But if it really is, you know, I totally feel that feeling your emotions is so important. But, you know, do it in private.
Yeah.
Throw the pillow around. Do whatever you need to do. Curse. But don't let it out on your significant other if it's something to do with you, not him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's more what I'm talking about is people handle it differently.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I hope that answers your question.
It did. Yeah. And
yeah.
So and looking at the in conjunctions then is plausible when they're exact, you say.
Oh, yeah.
For solar arcs. Yeah.
Yeah, I would, you know, okay. this is more advanced forecasting mm-hmm. that we're talking about now. So,
yeah.
Yes, definitely. And you know that intuitively. You're looking
Well,
at
I sensed it. Yes, I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just wanted to get your take on it because you didn't include it in the course.
Exactly. I haven't included everything in the course because it can be a little overwhelming if it's a little bit too much at once. So, I did the really important stuff. Now the inconjuncts are they're like a deeper exploration, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, to me, it's a very spiritual aspect, very deeply spiritual aspect. So, yeah, I love them. It's actually, when I see them in a birth chart, I rejoice because I know I'm dealing with somebody who's extremely creative and spiritual, you know, hopefully that they've tapped into that. So yeah, you've got that. It's really, really cool. I like it. Yeah, and you can earn money doing this. I'm just looking at your second house. Ooh, yeah, you got the moon in there in your yard. So that's good. You got to get going with that business side of you.
That's been a challenge, my dear. That's been a challenge.
Yeah, well, you can work on it. You'll see. It'll happen. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we covered it for what I had on my list here, so I'll let you get on to your next call. But
okay,
thank you.
Good. I'm glad. And happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Okay, good. Let's go to one more caller, and then I'll go to my next email question. So let's see. Hello, this is Anonymous. I think this may be Skype.
Hi.
Skype
yeah,
caller?
It's Andrea. Yeah.
Hi, Andrea. How are
Hi.
You?
I'm good.
Good.
Last time that we were on the future forecasting call, you were looking at my chart, and you said that September was a good time for making money.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did find, like, a difference. Like, I did get
good.
More business.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, that's great.
Yeah. So I just wanted to let you know that
I'm
it
so
did
happy.
Come
oh,
out
so
that
awesome.
Way.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, for a while during the summer, it was, like, it had slowed down for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, what's going on? But, yeah, once September kicked in, like, I don't know. It's just generating more interest from clients. So So that was excellent.
That's awesome. And, you know, I have to say about that is when you know that something like that is about to happen for you, it really helps to get plans in place to take advantage of it. Do you see what I mean? Because the foreknowledge allows you to go even more strong, right, to really put
yeah.
intention into it and say, okay, I'm taking advantage of it. And then that's why people like, you know, I mean, what's his name, the guy who does The Apprentice. He uses...
Donald Trump?
Yeah. He uses feng shui and astrology and numerology because, you know, these really well-known people, though most of them won't tell you this, know when these cycles happen for them because
mm-hmm.
they want the energy to work for them. So they totally, they're smart enough. These are brilliant people. So they understand energy, right? I mean,
yeah.
the money exchange itself is about energy, and they get that. So they want all the support at their disposal. So they know about this stuff. So you now having the ability to check it for yourself is hugely a gift, especially if you understand how to do it and you're doing it with astrology and numerology. That's a huge plus there in itself, knowing your numerology cycles and your astrology cycles and putting them together. Very few people have that knowledge. And you can now do that for yourself and for your clients. In fact, you could even build a business on that if you wanted to, if this interests you, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's important knowledge that people would love to know. I mean, who doesn't want to know that? Right? Who doesn't want to know when to lay low and when to put on all the burners, you know, and all of that. So, yeah, this is why I'm going to be doing the wealth course, too, so that you actually have it in front of you and you can really start using it for your clients.
Yeah, and I signed up for it. So.
Well, I haven't created it yet. So once it's done, yeah, definitely you can sign up for it. But, yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. That is really great. So,
oh, I meant for the one in November.
One, yes. That is actually, you know what? I'm so glad you mentioned that because I'm actually going to be using what I will teach in that course. That actual seminar is going to be using what I know in terms of wealth astronumerology and applying it for the purpose of helping people next year because it's such an extraordinary year. So definitely, if you're interested in that side of astronumerology, you want to sign up for that because it's a five-hour lesson on how to use it for basically your clients, basically, because I'm going through all the signs and all the years, right, the personal years, and I'm going through all the important aspects. And, yeah, so that's great. I'm glad you signed up. You'll really like that. And you'll probably
Amazing.
Learn a lot just from taking that one. So, yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Good. Well, congrats.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions?
Okay, so you were talking about Jupiter and Uranus trine.
Mm-hmm.
And Jupiter is in my 12th house, and the Uranus is in my ninth house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Because ninth house is about travel, and I've suddenly gotten the chance to travel. I just wondered if that had anything to do with it.
So when you say Uranus is in your ninth house, you're talking about transiting Uranus is in your
Yeah,
ninth
transiting.
House?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Uranus has been there, though,
for a while,
right? Because,
yeah.
Yeah, but it may have been triggered. It may be triggering a part of your chart, too. But, yes, I mean, Uranus in that part of your chart will, for the foreseeable future, a few years, definitely activate travel that's even unexpected, that comes out of the blue, or travel that takes you to places that really, really open you up in some way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the trip generated that feeling inside of you. But, you know, your Uranus natally, you always want to look, where's this planet natally in my chart when you're doing transits, progressions, and arcs? You know, let's say you're looking at Uranus in arcs or transits. You don't look at it in progressions, of course, but in arcs
mm-hmm.
and transits, like for you right now, see where Uranus is in your natal chart, and that'll also give you an idea of what's being affected, right? So
okay, it's yeah,
always,
it's in my
yeah.
fourth house for natal.
In your fourth house, okay. So in that case, you know, it will be affecting your home environment and your relationship with your parents too.
Mm-hmm.
It governs that as well. So, and what was the other planet you're telling me about?
The Jupiter.
Oh, Jupiter. Right. That trine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. With that trine activated, yes, it's activating your 9th and 12th house right now. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not just now, but, you know, this is something that you'll feel for a while. Yeah. Very true. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't put two and two together there.
Okay.
But because you have this particular grand fire trine, which, by the way, Mars would be in that 4th house then for you. So that's activated too for you. So just keep that in mind. That's for now. But in general for you, the 9th and 12th houses are definitely affected by this trine. So that would be for now, not just since Uranus entered your 9th house, which would have been years ago. So, mm-hmm. And you'll feel some very, very beautiful shifts, some really exciting positive energy in those areas of your life. Yeah.
Okay. And then because Mars is in it, does it kind of push you or shift you more quickly?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it pushes and shifts you because of the, like, it lights a burner under you, you know, of action. I want to act. I want to move forward. I want to do something about this. I'm ready to go. You know, Mars activates. So it's your source of energy. So all of us are feeling activated in some way right now to make a change because Uranus is about freedom and Jupiter is about joy and expansion. And both are very much aligned towards the future, both of these planets.
Right.
So we feel very confident that whatever we're deciding on is going to be fulfilled. And with Mars involved, we have the energy to create, to manifest what it is we envision. So that's why it's so powerful and exciting. So if you have an idea or you have a project or, you know, a business idea or website, whatever it is that you're looking at, relationship, it's now is the time to move forward in that regard.
Okay, that's amazing. Yeah, because in the last 2 weeks, I've just noticed like a huge mindset shift for myself. And now it's shifted me like into actual action, like, you know, to doing more, to doing something about it. You know, like I had the mindset shift and then it's like, now I got to go do something about it, you know. And it just seems happening so quickly. So it's interesting to see it in the actual chart.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fabulous to look at it in your actual charts because, you know, you can feel the energy. It's not like it's not there because you don't know about it. I mean, it is there, whether you know about it or not. Everybody's feeling it. But then to pinpoint the direction of the energy in your chart is really such a great tool, you know. So it's really fun, too, to do.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's all for now.
Okay.
I'm talking to you later, so.
Yeah, that's right. You are, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're talking today.
Yeah.
That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will talk to you soon then.
Okay.
All right, Andrea.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let me get, I know I have several callers left, and I will get to all of you. I just want to answer Jen's question. And where's your email here? You want to get an overview of what is lining up for me in October, the new moon and Pluto moving forward. Okay, now, Jen, let me see if you're on my call list. I think you maybe, because I think you're 650, so I'm going to get you on, see if this is you. Is this Jen?
Yes, it is.
It is Jen.
How are you?
Okay, good. I thought, since I'm answering your question.
You know my number. It's 11.
I know your number, 650. There you are. Yay. Okay, so good. So you just want to get an overview of where these are taking place in your chart, the Pluto moving direct.
And what's coming up with that? Because I've had, you know, so many changes in this month, and I'm in this 1 year, and I'm trying to get a handle of what I'm supposed to kind of focus on. You know, I feel like a lot of things changed for me in this past month, and I'm like, okay.
Didn't you also go on some really big trip? Somewhere?
Yes, Yes, I went to a gathering in Louisiana, which was amazing and mind blowing. And
oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
and very. Yeah, and my business has definitely shifted since I've come back. And
yay.
Yeah. More money coming in and a lot of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. So that's really exciting. But
yay.
That's so awesome.
And you know what? That is the grand trine that's activating for you already. I'm just letting you know. It's really fantastic. It is a forecast for what's happening in 2015 right now with this trine, because it's at 15 zero degrees and it's just perfect. So if you are bringing in money during this grand trine, it's a forecast of the next year for you, of what's happening. And it means it means you're aligned to what you're here to do in the way you're meant to do it. So obviously that breakthrough you had has supported that. The Pluto direct at 11:00 degrees, which is happening as we speak right now in Capricorn, is in your ninth house of travel. So I'm not surprised you had a breakthrough while traveling. So, and for you, it's also about teaching, of course. I mean, ninth house is about teaching, higher education. Taking courses is very important for you, or creating courses for others. That's one of the messages for you. It's like, learn more and teach both. You know?
I'm working on it, doing my best.
Yes. Okay, but, I mean, it's not to do it all this week, right? It's just
oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah,
No.
Okay, go ahead.
You have started to do that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you what the message is. It's not like, okay, let's get it all done now. It's just that's what Pluto moving direct, which literally just happened hours ago. So you're being asked to focus in that direction. Let's see here. The new moon you asked me about, and that is happening in a couple hours. And where is my chart for that? Because I just want to see. Oh, there it is. Okay. New moon for you on the 24th. Of September, actually for you, I believe you're in the Bay Area, California, so it's the 23rd, it's tonight, it's at 7:15 a.m. in Greenwich Mean Time, so it's like 11:15 p.m. for us here in California. So that happens at 1 degree Libra is for you, where is it? Oh, it's your sixth house. Okay. Oh, okay, so let's see. Sixth house is for you ruled by Virgo. So you have sixth house Virgo and you have 12th house Capricorn. Those are both earth signs. So that's important for you, this new moon. It is opposite your natal moon, exactly. Your natal moon is at 2 degrees in Aries, and this new moon is at 0 or 1 degrees Libra. That's big for you, obviously. Can affect you in a very subconscious way. So pay attention to your dreams and what you're feeling now. You're extremely intuitive. You'll really feel that as we go into next month, that intuition part of you. Because your moon is in the 12th house, your natal moon. You know, this is happening in your sixth house, the actual new moon itself. So that affects your work. So put your feelings into your work and allow your intuition to really, like, trust it implicitly when you're with your clients or when you're, you know, learning something or discovering something or writing something, if you have a blog, and just allow yourself to channel, you know. So that's how that will affect you. I'm seeing if there's anything else. It forms a nice sextile to your Saturn in the eighth house. That's nice. I like that for money. That's helping you. Let's see. Yeah, it's a very nice new moon for you. There's a square to. Let's see one. Yeah, there's a square, I believe. Or is it a trine? No, it's a trine to your Mercury in the second house. There's a trine being formed. Yep, it's two air signs, and that's nice too. And Mercury's in your second house of money. So this is good. It's all good news for you.
Voice to the money.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's in terms of your intuition and bringing in more income. It's, you know, if you have a plan of action and you're using it and you know how to attract more clients and you have a marketing plan, sales plan, you know how to do it, you can really take advantage of this time right now for you, for yourself. So
yeah, that's really good. You know, it feels really in alignment with how I feel right now. So what about the Neptune, what is it? Uranus and Jupiter. Yeah,
the trine. Yeah. It's in your 12th house and your 4th house. And then Mars is in your 8th house. So the grand fire trine for you encompasses those houses. And it is, let's see, is it touching any of your points? It's not conjunct anything for you. Let's see. Anything at 15. Your sun's at 16 degrees. So it is activating your sun. So that's important. Your sun's in your first house in Taurus at 16 degrees. So because this grand trine is happening at 15, 16, 17 degrees, it will affect you. Actually, no, that's the one that's coming up, the eclipse. So both of them affect you. Both of them affect you. This one happens at 15:00. So 12th house again, intuitive insight, psychic ability. 4th house, of course, is how you manifest things. It's your home and also your parents. But it is also opposite the 10th, which is career, right? So Jupiter is opposite your 10th house. So that's good. That does help career-wise. And then, of course, Mars in the 8th is that taboo house of life, death, sexuality, money owed to you. Very deep, deep activation. I mean, you're activating the taboo part of your chart, which is, you know, 12th house, 8th house, are the more hidden sides of people's psyche, right? And so that part of you is being activated, which means in terms of your work, not just for you personally, it's being activated, but in your work, you're going to be, you know, enabling others in a very positive way, you know, by looking at it yourself first, but then being there for others and allowing them to have the space, you know, to do that. I think it's something you're naturally good at. You enjoy that, you know, the deeper side of things. So this will help that and help you do it in a way that is very positive. So
that's good. Yeah, that is natural to me, and I do feel there's a deepening. So it's not going to really affect in terms of my home or whatever, my home, even though it's in the 4th house.
No, it's a good way. No, I mean, it's Jupiter in your 4th house. That's lovely. Mm. I mean, look, it's about freedom, joy. If you wanted to move, you could move now, and it would be a good thing. If you didn't, then you can beautify your home. And as long as you focus on the freedom, joy side of it, that's what this is all about. So anything that makes you feel free and fulfilled and joyful and hopeful about the future is what this is about, and it's really helping you in that regard. So if you're living somewhere that doesn't allow you to feel that way, then consider a move too, you know. I don't know your living situation, but it certainly is touching that part of your life. So
yeah, no, I was just wondering because I love where I live, but I've been thinking, oh, I'm going to just fix it up a little bit because I've only been here a year. And then so I was just like, oh, you know, I feel like before I didn't feel like that, but now I do. So it was just, so that's where it's coming in.
It's definitely coming from that, yes.
Okay.
Because your surroundings for you who works at home are absolutely critical. You need to feel happy there and fulfilled. Mm. And this is just telling you that, oh, let's get the happy and fulfilling factor into Jen's home now. So yeah, because it's like it is in a way your spiritual, you know, center. It's because that's where you work. You do your spiritual work there. So you want it to be like a sanctuary. You want it to feel that way, you know? Very important. So
yeah, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wonderful. All right, so it's all good things. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yay, yeah. I love this one so much. I'm very happy about it. And so, so enjoy.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited. I also signed up for the November thing because I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, so am I. I'm loving doing the research for it. But good, I'm glad you'll be there. It's I'm so excited about next year, I can't even tell you. It's just, especially after this year and last year and the year before. It's like a breath of fresh air. Oh,
yeah, finally.
This
finally.
Pluto-Uranus square drama stuff. So yeah. I'm ready for sunshine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well,
thank
bring
you.
The sun into
thank
your home.
You.
You're welcome.
I will. Thank
okay.
you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we are now moving on to area code 817. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. How are you? This is Angelica.
Oh, hi, Angelica. Oh, gosh, I really, really feel for you. And I'm glad you called in. That's amazing, huge life-shifting news that you got today. Did you really get it today on the 23rd?
On Thursday for the biopsy because I had to reschedule because they wanted all this money and blah, blah, blah. So I finally went Thursday, and then today they called me, yeah,
wow.
With the results.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Well, but you know what? It's massive. I mean, my whole life, truly, I mean, Tanya, it's just falling apart. That's just the piece. And then the other piece is, you know, my husband was ready to sign for me to get the modified loan and blah, blah, blah. And then he backed off. And now I'm possibly even ready to lose my home. I mean, I can go on and on with a list of, you know, and I'm not saying all this, all of you out there listening, I'm not saying this for pity. I'm saying this because I'm falling apart. I mean, that's how I feel.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you're confronted to the depths, to the core, bottom of the barrel moments, right? Where you just feel like everything's nothing.
Sure,
more
yeah.
Than. Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. I'm just pulling up your stuff. Hold on here, because you're an Astral Alliance Master.
Yeah.
So you're not in my new Academy folder.
Yeah.
So hold on.
I mean, I was even ready to quit my job. I'm glad I didn't because of the insurance. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had my insurance.
Well, absolutely. Are they providing that health insurance for you?
Well, they don't provide everything. I have insurance. It's not the best insurance, but it's an insurance. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
you
so
know,
you do have, at least you have insurance, because you know a lot of people don't right now.
No,
with
I
all
do.
The, with
all I
the changes.
Do.
So at least you have that, which is, you know, obviously a huge relief.
It's a huge, yeah.
Huge relief.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, the deductible is huge, but anyways, that's a different story. But anyways,
okay, I'm looking still for your progressions. It's the last bit of the equation I want to bring up here.
You'll probably find me under Maria.
I found you. No, I found you. It's just you were not in Numerology Academy folder because you're in my mastermind, so I had to get that folder open. So
okay.
I'm just getting that open and getting you up here. So let's see. Okay. And I think I did a reading for you, was it a couple months ago or was it last month on the call?
Yeah, I think it was last month. Yeah.
Was it last month? Yeah, okay. Okay, now here's the thing I'm just going to point out in your natal chart, just real briefly, something that you would want to know about in your actual natal chart. You have something that's called an envelope. And it's a very wide-angle envelope because two of the planets are pretty wide apart. But what it is if you look at your natal chart and you see how you've got Pluto and Uranus opposite Saturn, and then then you have Mars and Neptune opposite each other, right? So you've got these two oppositions. And then you've got a sextile between Saturn and Mars and a sextile between Neptune and Pluto. Do you see that? You see all that? So it's like a lot of green. Okay. Now, if you draw another line between Saturn and Neptune, right, even though they're, what, 11 degrees apart, looks like they're 11 degrees apart because Saturn's almost at 5 degrees. So if you draw another line there, you'll see something that looks like an envelope. Do you see that figure? So draw like another green line there that's a trine, and then you'll see something that looks like an envelope. I just want to point that out to you. It's a sacred geometric shape. I did not teach in future forecast formula because it's more advanced. But I'm pointing it out to you now because people who have this, and we'll look at this in a moment a little bit more closely, what happens is that it's literally like you may have a tendency to close that envelope and keep it closed and not share the deep feelings inside of you, right? So this sacred geometric shape shows you have a lot of wisdom, a lot of information, and your tendency sometimes is to close off deep emotions and not allow other people in or feel uncomfortable sharing something on that deep level. Does that make sense for you?
It does.
Okay.
It does, uh-huh.
Okay. So now the planets affected in this case are a triple conjunction in your seventh house, which is all about your intimate relationships, a double conjunction in your 11th house, and let me name the planets. So it's Mercury, Jupiter, and Mars are conjunct in your seventh house. And then you have Uranus and Pluto conjunct in your 11th house. And then you have Neptune in the first house, and then you have Saturn in the fifth house. So these are, most of them are the impersonal planets. You have two personal ones. You've got Mars and Mercury. Those are the thinking planet and the planet of your energetic resources, your passion. So, and those happen to be seventh house, right? So there's a lot of stuff with your relationships that is happening here. So this actual envelope, I bet you, is being triggered somehow right now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something going on in the transits, progressions, arcs that is actually bringing this envelope to life and somehow so that some of these feelings you have are released in some way. Okay, so so let me get rid of Andrea and bring up your arcs. There we go. Just wanted to have all three of your charts in front of me to see what's being triggered. So let's look at your transits first. That means we can look also at the grand trine that's active, you know, right now. It's at 15 degrees. It involves, of course, Mars. And let's see here. Yeah. We have definitely, because of where this, what I call your envelope, is placed, you know, in terms of the actual degree signs, it is being activated by this grand trine. So actually, that's good news. I wanted to see what was going on with you. I like this actually for you because what it means is there's a wonderful opportunity here for you. You know, this is not, in my mind, something that is going to be an ongoing story of feeling devastated. It's not.
I know it's not.
It's not because, first of all, you got the news literally on a new moon day, and right before this, well, right as this fire trine is activating, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's activating using the exact planets that are in this envelope for you. Mars and Uranus and Jupiter are all involved in this envelope. So in your natal chart. So it really is actually, I don't see this being a...
So this is a thing that I got the news today, per se.
No, yeah, absolutely. I think it's actually promising to me. It's definitely not something where you feel, oh my gosh, my life's over. It's not like that at all. It's what it is an opportunity for some major growth, obviously. I mean, who's going to deny that? I mean, when you get diagnosed in this way, it's like, you know, of course, it's huge. But this is not anything you need to feel is, you know, going to curtail things in for a very long time. It's not going to. I really feel that you should feel very hopeful about what your prognosis is. And I'm curious what it is they actually said. Have they said anything to you? I mean, in terms of the size and what your treatment plan is and all that?
No, I'm going to get all that information on October the 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had to schedule an appointment. The radiologist is the one that called me and gave me the results of the biopsy.
Okay. You are in a 16-7 year,
mm-hmm.
right? Personal year. That is sudden stuff, for sure. This is total shock. I mean, who would ever plan to get news like this? Nobody. So, I mean, it's a major shock to your system, obviously. I mean, it would for anybody. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's happening during that 16-7 months too for us all. So that 16-7 is activated for you in a double way right now, and it's happening in a month like that. So for me, that all means it's an opportunity. It's just the shock of it obviously is throwing you a huge loop. Obviously you need to process this, you know, and I'm assuming you have people to talk to and to work through, you know, what you're feeling. So that you can actually, I hope you do, so that you can really feel through what you need. What does Angie need? You know, what does Angelica need to really feel nourished and supported? I know we talked about this before, that you need that anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this is...
I'm opening up.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
I did. I started to open up and ask for, you know, just support.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now you'll really want to open up, and people will reach out to you. They will. It's just you have to reach out to them, you know, and do it in a way that where you allow yourself to feel open and vulnerable, and so that they can then support you and be there for you. By the way, that link I sent you with that. That's really helped a lot of people. So I just, you know, you might want to really look into that. People who have... Yeah. Now, I know it costs money.
Yeah,
I understand that.
This Friday I should be able to order.
Okay, good. Yeah, I do recommend you at least look into it because from what I know, and even my own acupuncturist, who we didn't even know, both of us knew about it, and it came up because a mutual friend of ours also had the same diagnosis. And he brought it up with me because we were talking about her, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know about that. So he said, oh, yeah, it's really powerful. It's what Ronald Reagan used when he was president, when it was illegal in this country to even sell it. It was illegal to sell because back then in the 80s, you know, they really didn't want any alternative stuff to reach the market, but since then, obviously, it's you've been able to get it. I think in the last decade or so, it was only available in Europe at the time, so they had to secretly bring it in for him, and they cured whatever it was he had with this particular product. So, in any case, looking at you, I just want to check real quick your arcs. I know we did this another time as well, but just to see what the health situation. This, you know, these eclipses coming up will be very, very powerful. The first one on the 8th obviously encompasses this grand trine, but it occurs for you in the parts of your chart that are the 6th house, which is health, and the 12th house, which is your secrets, your subconscious, right, your spiritual life. And so I really deeply feel that that particular eclipse, this is on October 8th, is going to be a very powerful moment for you. And one, in maybe you'll find a health practitioner who will support you, will be there for you, or and I don't know if you're on the lookout for something like that, but I would certainly see if you can, you know, try that route when you know what the diagnosis is, you know, and get that information.
Yeah.
Obviously, they'll need
I'm already. Yeah.
And by the way, if you're looking for, if you're really serious about, like, meaning, I'm not saying you wouldn't be serious, but if you really want to work with somebody who has literally got all the information about how to cure cancer from an alternative perspective, my own family practitioner that I use is on the cutting edge of all of that, and he has clients around the world, and he has clinics in the Dominican Republic, in Brooklyn. He practices in LA, and he actually can scan you from your photograph. He does both Western and Eastern. He's a 23rd generation Chinese practitioner, but an incredible practitioner. But he can actually look, you know, you can actually have an initial consult with him, and he will tell you what it's related to in aspects that would blow your mind, because he even does past life stuff. He can reach that far into you and see where did this originate, the actual source of it, which is what you want to know. So if you want that,
right,
I can send you his info, and you can be in touch with his office about setting up a
consult. That would be good. I mean, right now I really need to, you know, find alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I would
it.
Do. I just didn't know how you wanted to go about it, but for sure, it's if you can find somebody who really knows what he's doing or she's doing, it's so worth it to go that route as opposed to the other route, you know. So the Western.
Yeah.
Route. So so that eclipse is very important because it takes place in your house of health, and then the October solar eclipse on the 23rd, which is exactly a month from today, because we have a new moon today, that new moon will be an eclipse. That's at 00 Scorpio, and that's also in your house of health. So both of these eclipses are in the house of health for you. So, and since they're eclipses, that does mean the effect lasts a year. But to me, that makes sense. You will go on a course of action now that will help you, you know, that will have, it won't just be a month. It's not like it's a full moon, new moon, right? It's literally, it's going to affect you for a long time. So that's indicating that, yes, you will be paying attention to your general health in a big way. Okay, so, and because I love these eclipses and the way they're lined up, I foresee it being very, very good for you. It's literally addressing something inside of you that needed to be addressed for a long time. That's basically what it is, you see. So, and I love that it's so hopeful, because it means, wow, Angelica's going to come out of this completely renewed and with a purpose like never before, you know. So 16-7 year, you look at the whole storyline, you're going to be in your 17-8 year, you know, come your birthday. So that's big, you know. that's a big deal. So
It's getting me ready for 17.
Oh my gosh, you're a 2 and a 4. Of course it's getting you ready. You're a 2 and a 4, right? That's what you are. Your code
right.
is 13-4, 22-4, and 11-2. That 17-8 year is huge for you. I mean, it's like this is preparation for it, you know? So absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the going within sabbatical year for you right now. This is the health year, the sabbatical year, the going within, the clearing out. And so you're doing it in a very profound way, of course, one that you have no choice. Most of us think we have a choice when we don't. You now really know you don't, right? It's like, okay,
right.
The shit hits the fan. I've got to freaking look at this. Most of us don't go there because we're too lazy. So it then will take a crisis for us to do the inner work we need to do in order to move forward with what our mission is here. You know, so and the good news for you is it's happening during a time where the forecast is very, very positive. So I really see you coming through this and doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good to hear.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy to give you that news. Believe me. So.
Oh my God, because I am falling. That's how I feel. I'm just falling apart. It's like I keep moving. I keep trying to think positive. I keep doing everything I can. You know, I'm so creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I feel like I take 3 steps and then I take 5 or 6 back. And I'm thinking, what's happening? Somebody pull me.
Yeah.
You know, forward. I can't. I just feel like I can't hold on right now.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is that you were needing to address whatever it is that's coming out now. You know, as a result of this diagnosis, you are going to be really, really working deeply. And so that wasn't possible in a way before, you know. So meaning the moving forward part was coming
right.
before, you know, the cart before the horse type thing. So you needed to address this first, and then the moving forward part will happen naturally. Do you see what I'm saying? That happens often.
Yeah.
This is why when I coach my business clients, I have to do the personal stuff too. Because, you know, you can have all the brilliant information in the world. Your business will not fly unless your energy is aligned vibrationally to what you're here to do. And, and that's personal work. It has nothing to do with anything you do with your, you know, website. It has to do with how you things within you. So, yeah, it's very, very important to combine both. So that's what's happening for you now. You are addressing the deep personal stuff in order for you to move forward, you know, with the business.
Mm.
And it will affect your business. I'm telling you right now, whenever I am confronted with inner work, and sure as hell have this month, my business feels it. I feel a direct result in my business when I do that work.
Mm.
When I hold back, and I shut the door when something needs to be addressed, it's a stagnant energy that builds up and you cannot move forward. No matter what you do, it's like putting Band-Aids on a wound. So, you know, so there you go. I mean, it's really clear to me that this is a wonderful opportunity, as hard as that may sound. You know, people would say, are you nuts? But really, that's what this is. I know. It sounds strange. It sounds strange. But really, in the end, I think you'll really feel grateful that you went through this experience, because it will change you in a way that is just amazing. You are an amazing person. You're able to handle this. You're never given something that you can't handle. And so this is really something for you. And by the way, this will drive your business from now on, too. So you're going to be doing things differently from now on. As a result of this, and it will really affect you in a deep way. So,
yeah. And even that book, that 80-20 principle, fell on my lap this week, and I started reading it, and I was like, oh my God. Okay. I get it, you know.
Wow.
So
that's so exciting that you have that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you'll find. You'll really, you know what, you're psychically being opened up in a huge way. Remember, it's 12th and 6th house. They're related. You're psychic, you're intuitive, and your health. Totally interrelated. the opposite houses. I talked about this yesterday in Numerology Academy. So you are being open psychically. So anything that happens for you like this, a book falling into your lap, that's the divine talking through to you, saying, read this, and you will understand what's happening. You know, focus your energy on what you can do. Focus your energy on what's possible and what will bring more fulfillment as a result of this diagnosis, because it's just a diagnosis. Just remember that. It's energy that you can shift. So, so yeah, that's really good to hear that that happened.
Well, that's great. And, thank you for taking the time. And later on, I just need to talk to you just for about 10 minutes confidential, and then
sure.
That's it.
You know what? Just email me at that support address, and we'll figure out a time. Would be later this week because I'm completely booked the next couple of days. But, yeah, we can do it at the end of the week if you're available. So,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right. Thanks, Tanya.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll talk soon. And you're really doing great, I just want to say. You know, I mean, Angelica, most people wouldn't be able to get on a call like this. So I just applaud
no.
you. Really, seriously, it's, yeah.
It's hard. Believe me,
yeah.
I couldn't even walk out of the door to work this morning. I had to just lay in bed and cry. So anyway,
of course.
Thank you.
Of course, and you will, and you need to. Please do that. That's the moon. That's the energy. That's the emotions. Let them out. It's important. You're releasing. That's what you're doing, and please continue to do it. It's very, very good. It's not a bad thing to lay on your bed and cry or get angry, or it's a good thing. I want you to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Okay, lots of love.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's see. I believe we have, if I can just get back to my meeting. There we go. I think we have one more caller, and I believe this is another Skype call. Let's see if I can get you open. There we go. Okay, Jazzy Girl, I believe this is Linda. Is that correct? Are you there? Oops. You're closed. Hold on. Let me open you up again. Something's not working on my computer.
Hi, Tanya.
There you are. Okay. Oh, no, now you're gone again. What is going on? Click you one more time. I'm having freeze issues.
Hi,
okay.
Tanya.
Are you there? You're there now.
Okay. I was just curious if there's something in the, I guess it would be progressions and solar arcs that would forecast having a baby.
Ooh.
Not me.
Yeah.
Well,
there is in numerology as well. You know, the 14-5 years is a great year to get pregnant. A lot of women get pregnant 14-5. It's aligned with pregnancy. So
is
this any 6 year?
Or a universal year?
No, personal.
Personal year and also?
Yeah, personal year, but also personal month could work as well, but also any six, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of progressions and, yeah, I mean, what you want to do is look at, I mean, with arcs, yes, there absolutely are arcs. Arcs to the fifth house, anything in your fifth house, or the ruler of the fifth house, especially if they involve the moon and Venus. Let's see, anything, the ruler, the traditional ruler, just move down here, hold on. Yeah, anything involving Cancer, that's not the traditional ruler of the fifth house, but the traditional ruler of the fifth house is Leo. So that would be the sun. But anything involving Cancer as well, because that's motherhood.
Right.
So that would be moon, as I mentioned, Venus. So anything that's aspecting the moon, aspecting you know, Venus issues in conjunction with the moon are important because Venus is more about relationships,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes to moon issues or fifth house issues, it's about kids. So, see what else. I'd have to look at the chart itself and see, you know, how it all correlates. But you want to go to the rulers of the fifth, which is traditionally Leo, which would be the sun, but also the natural, you know, who are they? What's on their fifth house? Where's that planet? How is it being aspected by transit progression and arcs? And is there anything in the fifth house, transiting the fifth house? Anything else? Yeah, that's pretty much the general rule. I haven't really spent that much time, you know, with moms who want to get pregnant and saying,
mm-hmm.
and doing this kind of work, but that would be sort of the general rule on how to see it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then yesterday I was a couple minutes late for the call yesterday, and I think I heard you mention about the Uranus trine and how it would affect the stock market, but did you go into that, or were you going to do that today, or did I just make that up?
I don't think I talked about the stock market.
Oh, I thought for
that,
sure. Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't anything I was talking about, but certainly anything money-related would be affected.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the stock market is it will be Mercury retrograde. So, you know, the stock market is ruled by electrical current and it wouldn't function. So when Mercury is retrograde, it will change certain things electronically,
mm-hmm.
You know, meaning slowing things down. But this, the general feeling, not only with the eclipse, but also with this grand fire trine, which will involve the eclipse as well on the 8th, is that it will be very helpful to making money. Yes.
Oh.
So how that would affect the stock market. Now, remember, it's the universal month of 8 as well. So
mm-hmm.
that is a big money number right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be very good. But I don't really talk on that level in terms of, now, please, you know, do your stock market investments now because you'll make a lot of money. I don't do that kind of forecasting. I know that there are astrologers out there who do. They specifically focus on the stock market and will advise people based on that. But it's not my specialty, so I can't feel good saying, you know, put your money into the stock market in October without
mm-hmm.
really doing a lot more research. But if it was me and it was me personally, I would look at my personal chart, see how it lines up, and then make a decision based on the fact that I know it's a very fortunate time. So, yeah.
Okay. I just thought I heard you say something about the stock market, so I was curious about that. I'll have to go back and listen to yesterday's call then.
Yeah.
What did I hear?
God, unless my memory is failing me, I don't remember mentioning the stock market yesterday. So I'm sorry, but I can't answer that one right now. So. And if you do find something, please email me. I'd like to know what I said. Oh, okay, hilarious.
I'll do that. And then another question I had was
mm-hmm.
the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 1 degrees Libra. So
mm-hmm.
my 11th house cusp is at 4 degrees Virgo. And then my 12th house is at 3 degrees Libra. So do I need to take into consideration the 11th and the 12th house, or really just the 11th house for what would be affecting me for this?
Both. If it's that close, it's within 2 degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both. It's really on the cusp, so it could go either way. When it's that close to the beginning of a new house, you really do want to pay attention to both houses, because sometimes it really straddles both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say in this case, like anything within 2 to 3 degrees of entering another house, I would consider look at both houses, especially in a transit situation. Now, once it's in the house, though, let's say it's reached the next house, then you don't look back at the previous house. It's just that as it's approaching it, it's starting to enter the energetic frequency of that next house. And this is especially true, like I said, for the transits because they're faster moving.
Mm-hmm.
So with slower moving planets, it's not always the case. You may feel it, but it's not quite as strong. But yeah, in your case, 2 degrees, I would look at both. So
for, I think you mentioned for somebody else whose new moon was in the 12th house that intuitive insights and psychic abilities would be at the forefront. What would be some of the topics for the 11th house?
The 11th house is about your future. It's ruled by Aquarius, right? And so that would be Uranus stuff. So it's about breakthroughs, how you feel about your future. And it also rules all your acquaintances and friends and relationships and groups that you belong to. So, you know, if you're in business, the way I would equate it is if you're starting a Facebook group or a mastermind or some kind of group coaching, it's good for that because it covers that. It covers your hopes for the future, so planning things, personal goals for the future. And if you belong to a group, like you belong to Numerology Academy, it may mean being more active in a particular group or you know, creating some kind of repartee in a group or enhancing your reputation within that group. It also rules humanity because it's very humanitarian, being Aquarius. So, you know, the usual ruler of that house is Aquarius. So it's about, you know, that kind of feeling, you know, the kind of humanitarian service kind of stuff. So it's basically your connection to the world and your feeling about the future. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And so my natal Uranus is in that 11th house, so I would need to look at that too. And where Aquarius is on my 4th house, those need to come into play too, or not so much with a new moon?
Yeah, you do want to draw, paint that storyline. If Uranus is in your 11th house anyway, it's the ruler of that house naturally, then you can look at obviously where Aquarius is, the sign that rules Uranus, and go even deeper into the storyline that way. Because they're all connected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like unraveling the code, and then you look at that other house that Aquarius rules, and you see, well, what planets are in that house and how might they be triggered as well.
So
my
Uranus is still in Virgo, though, so I would need to look at also.
It's okay.
Okay. So I would just need to look at Aquarius, which is on my 4th house cusp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it would be interesting to say. So the same thing with the Uranus-Jupiter trine. You need to take all that into consideration. Like for Jupiter in Leo is one of the players. So do you need to see where Sagittarius is and also where Jupiter is in your natal chart?
Yes, you can go. That's what I would do if I did a really in-depth reading. I would want to see, well, where is Jupiter in your chart? Where is Sagittarius in your chart? Because Jupiter affects everything Sagittarius and vice versa, and it will affect those areas of your life. That's doing a much more in-depth reading where you do that kind of spiraling. So I would definitely, if it was me, I would do it for myself and I would do it for my clients. So if you're doing a quick reading like I do sometimes on these calls, I sometimes don't spiral like that. I mean, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But you want to do the general, really impactful, well, Jupiter is in your 8th house at this degree, right? And so during the Grand Trine, and so it would mean that it would bring up 8th house issues for you and blah, blah, blah. That's like the general major thing, right? But then, you know, you would move on from that and in a deeper reading, right?
Okay. So kind of related to that, so my second house cusp is at 25 degrees Scorpio, But most of the second house is in Jupiter, and my third house cusp is at 27 degrees. Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Sagittarius.
Yes.
So is most of the second house dealing with Sagittarius, or I would just still need to...
Yes. I would say your second house has two signs,
mm-hmm.
The cusp sign, but if most of it is in Sagittarius, then Sagittarius, you would look at that second house as well. So sometimes that's the case where your house cusp is a very light degree, and then most of the house is, is intercepted by another sign.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to look at that sign if it's related to the forecast that you're doing, because it is affecting that house as well. So you'd be essentially looking at two signs.
My first, second, and third, and then the opposite of those are all do that. So I guess.
Yeah. So you would want to do that for all of them then. I don't do it unless it's really just the last few degrees,
mm-hmm.
because really, I mean, in the end, it is the cusp that is most important. But
okay.
If it really is at the end degrees of a sign, then you do want to look at the other sign as well. So
okay.
It can get confusing sometimes because you have to really understand, like, if you have 29 degrees in Virgo starting a house, well, of course, you're also going to look at Libra, right? Because that's like the last minutes of that degree in Virgo. Now, Virgo still rules that house, but Libra is going to play a major role as well.
Mm-hmm.
Know? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. I think that was all of my questions for now.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I think we've come to the end of our calls, which is good because we've gone 2 hours, and I think it's time. It's been a very good call. I'm not surprised. It's been so thorough, and we covered a lot of bases, and I say that because it's September. It is very profoundly impactful, this moment we're having right now. 7 is that number of, hidden things. It's about mysteries, right? So we're uncovering mysteries. We're feeling it in our life. We're figuring out things. We're experiencing unforeseen events, some of us in a major way, some of us just in, ways that just were just unexpected, change of course, or completely change of course, and then it changes again. That's what I've been experiencing, like back and forth. This energy is strong. The Grand Trine is going to really help to clear things out, to heal on a very deep level. This is a very healing trine. It's in the fire signs. Fire burns, and burning is a really important part of healing. When we light a candle, we use fire. So we want to make sure that we focus on healing and focus on what it is in ourselves that needs healing, that requires healing, because it really is a wonderful opportunity for us to heal many wounds in a way that's easier than ever before, to clear things out. And you definitely want to do that before this next fantastic year comes our way. Okay, so this is our opportunity to address things. And so I wish all of you well in that. And like I said, make sure you are there with me on November 8th so we can take that incredible journey of 2015 together, because, there will be a lot of things for you there to share with your clients as well. Well, and of course with yourself. So, and enjoy your wonderful month of October. Enjoy the eclipses. We're going to speak, I believe, right before the second eclipse comes around, and it will be Mercury retrograde. So hopefully everything will be in place for that call. Cross fingers. Meanwhile, have a great October. Have a great end of September. Enjoy this trine. I mean, it's incredible. And lots of love to all of you. We'll talk soon. Okay, bye-bye.